upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. I was a soldier, then a veteran, a husband, and a father. And with my VA home loan, I'm a homeowner. No down payment required and no PMI. Build your future with the VA home loan. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.
Thanks for joining us for the second part of the conversation between myself and Ashley as we go into a little bit more in-depth discussions about body image and body image distortions. For those of you that might have issues surrounding body image and body image distortion, please make sure you are using the links available to you in the description. For those of you that don't have a primary care provider that you feel like you can discuss these issues with, we're going to pick up where we left off looking at some of the negative comments that people make surrounding others and the projection that they might present about their body image online. And with that said, let's go ahead and let's get started.
Warning. The following presentation contains information that might contradict what you have previously heard or believed to be true about how the human body works, and contains material that is not suitable for closed-minded individuals. Enjoy.
I kind of wanted to say something that you kind of brought up earlier about like you were doom scrolling.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what it's called.
Okay.
I'm not sure. It's words and phrases like that, I'm not 100% certain on, but I know there's a word where you simply just scroll looking for like the negative things, or you scroll out of negativity towards what's being projected.
Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of where I was going with it, but I know that I've seen like on TikTok, there'll be this like girl who looks great, muscular, and then I'll read through the comments and they'll be like, oh, she's too muscular. Oh, she looks too quote unquote manly. And it's like, it kind of sucks because like this person works so hard to get this way. And if she feels good looking like this, then why are you putting out that negativity too? So it's like, I've just been seeing that a lot lately, and I wanted to, I guess, bring that up because that's very frustrating to see. Because like you said, also like the males want to get muscular and I guess the females want to get a little skinnier. And then you see this girl who's muscular and like feeling good about herself, worked really hard towards that, and then people are just putting her down.
Yeah. Yeah. And that goes into that whole social interactions and social media. And I think it was the Dove soap company did a very large epidemiology study in 2020 into 2021, where they looked at how people perceive themselves and based off of all of the online time that we're spending with each other now,
How
they perceive themselves and how others perceive them in a online, electronic, non-real world. Mm-hmm. And what the study found is that there was a lower acceptance of their body. They were more displeased with their body, I guess is the better way of saying it. They're more displeased with their body and how their body looked. Yeah, so the idea about like the person at the gym and the person you're talking about on the TikTok.
Yeah.
It's really weird because what you get is you get this kind of, and it rolls into stuff that we've been talking about throughout this whole entire time, is this idea about self-esteem and the worth that we get from what we're doing can be kind of downgraded.
That's perfect. That's the word.
Based off of how others talk about us,
mm-hmm.
or project what we're trying to project. And that's where it's kind of, we used to have this saying, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that because of the anonymity that the commenting allows, it allows for a lot of like trolling to take place. And that trolling can cause issues for people, particularly people who are already self-conscious about how they look, their mm-hmm. body image. So like for like the young lady you're talking about on TikTok that was getting comments about, oh, you look too manly.
Manly, muscular, yeah.
Too muscular. Once again, you don't know what she's going through. You don't know why she's lifting the way that she's lifting. You don't know why she's trying to gain the muscle that she's trying to gain. There was an article that I wrote, 23 years ago now.
Oh, years ago?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That basically addressed that point about for it was written when I was just got done with PT school, and it was written to the female exerciser. This is back in 2001, 2002. That's what I was trying to do the okay. math in my head, because I can't remember exactly what year it was published, because it was that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
That basically said, no, you're not going to look like a man. And it goes into all of the kind of the underlying reasons why lifting for females is beneficial. And then the fear that you have about looking mannish is kind of an irrational fear, especially for where people fit on the normal curve, the normal distribution of androgen responses. So females who are high T females who are high testosterone responders will put on muscle mass very similar to a man, but will not look like a man. If that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
The androphied female, the female that's the high T, mm-hmm. has kind of the androphied broad shoulder, narrow hip, narrow waist body image, will look more cut, I guess is the best phrasing here. Look more cut, look more bulky when they exercise relative to a non-high T responder, non-more estrified female. But they're not going to look like a man. Mm-hmm. The other kind of thing that gets into play is, oh, that person must be on something.
Yeah.
Where, once again, it's that whole distortion. So it's like, well, I'm working so hard.
Right.
And I'm doing all the stuff I'm supposed to be doing, but they think I'm cheating.
Yeah.
And that, once again, that kind of puts into that self-esteem of, why should I
even try?
Even try.
Yeah.
Particularly if it's something that I don't enjoy doing. Because if I don't enjoy doing it, the only reason I'm doing it is because of some sort of external reward that I'm getting, some sort of coercion to do the activity. There was a podcast that is associated with another podcast that I normally listen to, where they were talking about this secret to weight loss for NFL linemen. As if there's like some sort of magic secret that NFL linemen go through once they retire that takes them from being 300-pound people to quote-unquote normal-sized people. Mm. And once again, that whole idea of the 300-pound person isn't normal size, but the 200-pound person is normal size is, once again, a distorted view of body image. And the whole entire premise is nothing more than, okay, what is the motivating factor to be the 300-pound person? And that motivating factor to be a 300-pound person is to get the paycheck, to get the accolades of being a professional football player. And when that external stimulus is no longer there, there's no drive for that person to eat all that they're eating in terms of their nutrient balance. And there's no drive there for them to have to lift at the intensities that they were lifting at in order to keep and maintain the amount of muscle mass that they had to have during playing football. And so the whole idea that they were presenting is fallacious in its face value, because they're assuming that one is bad, the other is good, or that there's some sort of secret when there's not really a secret. It's the what is my self-motivated desire versus what's my coercive desire. And within that self-motivation and the coercion, if I set up a behavioral habit that has been coerced for so long, it can become self-motivating because it's what I've been doing for so long. It's what I think I'm choosing that I want to do. And so it's very similar to that kind of idea that the NFL lineman has. Is kind of very similar to the ideas that performing artists, actors, actresses, singers, dancers have, where they have to be excessively skinny. Mm. And what do they do in order to be excessively skinny? They starve themselves. And what happens when they're no longer having to be excessively skinny? They gorge, they eat, they undergo binging. Same thing happens for bodybuilders. And I'll discuss this a little bit more in terms of the bodybuilders. Right. We can discuss here. Richie's going to join me for a continuation of this discussion, where because of her background and her history, we can go into a little bit with the bodybuilders. We've talked on it a little bit previously, but we'll get a little bit more into this, where they have the same mindset, where they have this excessive coercive event taking place, this competition, where they have to go through, I'm going to gain a lot of weight, I'm going to lose a lot of weight, I'm going to gain a lot of weight, I'm going to lose a lot of weight. And then when they stop doing it, if they don't have that self-motivation, okay, I'm going to keep lifting or I'm going to keep being active, they end up having a drastic change in their behaviors, which leads to a drastic change in the physiology, leads to a drastic change in their anatomy and their body composition. And once again, there were like comments that were being made. It was like, okay, well, that must be a secret for the linemen. Well, why do these positions players not do the exact same thing? Mm-hmm. And that's because those position players were being coerced into, okay, you have to run 5 miles. You have to run sprints every day. You have to stay excessively lean. You can't eat this. You can't eat that. And all of a sudden I'm no longer playing. And when I'm no longer playing, oh, I can go ahead and have this. Or in my case, I ballooned when I stopped playing because I would eat all this food in order to keep my weight for playing. But then I stopped playing. But I kept eating like I was playing still. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times for some of those thinner positions, they have to eat very similar to what a lineman has to eat, just not as much because they happen to be smaller. But they still have to eat more than what they would in terms of having a normal nutrient balance, because they're trying to both maintain fat-free mass plus gain fat-free mass in order to perform the way they need to perform. And once again, it goes into that whole social peer pressure, self-esteem idea. And that it becomes a, like I said, it becomes a double-edged sword, because yeah, I want to do things that make me feel good, but I also want to get some sort of accolades. I want to get recognition for doing what I'm doing. And if the recognition I get doesn't fit how I feel, now I have this kind of opposing feelings in my head that I'm not quite sure, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Or am I doing something that I'm not supposed to be doing because I'm not getting the rewards from everybody else the way I should be getting those rewards?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have those factors that all come into play as we go through the idea about, okay, what am I doing in my life in terms of things that I should be doing in order to make me healthy, to make me fit? Because when we start talking about fitness, once again, a lot of people are going to equate what does my body look like to what my fitness level happens to be.
Right.
What does my body look like relative to what my attractiveness happens to be? And this goes into something that we've talked about previously in terms of the cosmetic procedures that a lot of people will do. Because, for females, one of the big cosmetic procedures are augmentation surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't feel like the way in which my chest looks represents how I want to project myself. And so you get a lot of those surgeries in an effort to, once again, get that feeling of easement based off of what am I projecting outside to what I feel like I should be inside. And a lot of that comes into, and it goes into the distortion issues that males have as well. It's like, my pecs should be this big, but mm-hmm. my pecs aren't that big. Or they'll use the, you got man boobs.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll is like, you have those man boobs. Instead of having a flat, hard, instead of having flat, quote unquote, hard pecs
mm-hmm.
as a means to degrade somebody that might happen to have a little bit of excessive weight. And what that does is that, once again, that lowers the person's self-esteem and triggers that body distortion issue. It may not actually lead to a dysmorphic issue, a body dysmorphia, but it can put them on that kind of line of thought, especially if the person happens to have any type of neurodivergent or neuroatypical cognitive processing. OCD people, ADD people, people with anxiety issues tend to have self-esteem issues. It's where that imposter syndrome kind of pops up, even for people who are highly successful or people who are seen as being highly successful. If they happen to have any of those kind of neurodivergent, neuroatypical behaviors, they still have that kind of in the back of their head, I'm a fraud type thought process. And if I'm not getting that outward acclaim, the outward reward for doing all of the work that I feel I should be getting rewarded for, it can put me onto that path of having a distorted view. And that distorted view can lead to an eating disorder issue. People with attention deficit issues, people with OCD issues tend to already be predisposed to having eating disorder issues simply because they're constantly looking for a reward response.
I see.
And when I eat food or when I start to eat food, I get that swing in that dopamine serotonin responsing, particularly within the reward centers of the brain, which can very easily trigger that eating disorder, whether it's binge eating or anorexia or bulimia, based off of what's going to give me that reward. Because regardless of how we look at it in terms of the social cueing, in terms of the self-esteem issues, a lot of what's going on, it falls back into our neurophysiology, our neuroanatomy, and the reward response that we get around our behaviors, around the way in which we approach exercise, food, interactions with each other, where if I'm not getting the rewards that I think I should be getting, I'm going to do something else in order to get that reward.
You mentioned kind of the title slides and then just how I felt the social media advertised being fit for women. And
let's touch on, let's finish up talking about that idea about fit and the ideal body image, because I will kind of we'll wrap up with this kind of idea. And I can't speak for the female perspective, so I'll let you speak for the female perspective, but I'll speak for the male perspective.
Okay.
For the male perspective, the idea that gets pushed in social media, in mass media, in advertisements, is a combination of two issues. Having a little bit of body fat is okay. But if you actually want to be viewed as being athletic, as fit, as someone that is quote unquote ideal, you want to have very low body fat where you can actually quote unquote see the six pack.
Mm-hmm.
And the six pack is not about how much ab work you do. It's about how much actual fat adipose you have in the abdomen. So you have that kind of pitch. And that pitch has two avenues. You either have the excessively fit person, or you have what most people reference as the quote unquote dad bod.
Mm.
But even with dad bod, you can't be too fat in the dad bod. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're looked at as the Peter Griffin kind of Family Guy, too big, or the Homer Simpson too big, or I know I'm really going to date myself here, but the Kevin James, how can someone that big have a wife that looks like on TV? And so that those are kind of the dualities you have, where you're either excessively have a little bit of dad bod, or you're too big to actually realistically have the life that's being portrayed to you. And so that's the way that it gets projected for the men. And that gets kind of amplified, or has been amplified, over the last 10, 15 years with all of the superhero movies and the fact that you have to look like a superhero.
No, yeah.
Now for the females,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you would agree with this, but there's been a little bit more acceptance of having differences in, you can look at it almost like a continuum, as opposed to for the guys, which is like either this or you're not.
I see.
I don't know if you would agree with that or not.
Okay.
So the way in which I see it is that on the female side, we seem to be more accepting of a continuum of body images.
I think so too. I think that more lately, there's been more body positivity for females. I think it's more for like ourselves and how we see each other or ourselves, because I think that we all have our own healthy compared to somebody else's perspective of healthy, because how you had mentioned our physiologies and how you mentioned testosterone, a female with higher testosterone will look a certain way, might be a little bit bigger, but that doesn't mean that they're not healthy. They will be healthy how they are healthy compared to somebody with less testosterone, maybe a little bit more petite, they are healthy in that they're healthy. You know, it's like kind of comparing we are not, I feel like we're not really judging. Women aren't really judging each other. It's more like ourselves, I would say. But I definitely feel like there is a lot more body positivity, a lot of women supporting women on how they look. And yeah, for sure. I would say so too.
Okay. I don't know if that's... No, that's good. Cause one of the things that I liked it when the movement started. The body positivity movement started because it raised awareness to the stresses that if you weren't studying them, you weren't as aware of all of the stresses that were out there. You got it a lot in the news media about all of these stresses, all of these issues with anorexia and bulimia, with like a lot of the after school specials, stuff like that, as well as within some of the news reports, particularly when athletes or famous people would admit to having those issues.
Issues, right?
It's very aware that we become very aware of the body image issues that women have more than we've been aware of the body image issues that males have.
For sure, 100%.
And once again, we kind of talked about that earlier in terms of that difference in percentages that we see between males and females. But at the same time, we have to be cognizant of the fact that just because there's differences that we see within genders and across genders, using the sociological terms, those differences stem from the same psychological root causes, the same social issues, the same social media issues, the same cultural issues, the same physiological issues, the same coping mechanisms that we use for stress. The same way that we deal with setbacks in life and how we go about responding to those stresses have an impact on what we do that impact how our physiology works, that impacts how our body composition gets set up, that can have long-term issues, long-term ramifications on our overall body morphology, the way in which our body actually looks, our body image, not necessarily how we project our body image, but also how we internalize our body image. And that leads to issues that you've mentioned in the gym, and that I've seen in the gym as well as in my career, where you get these people that will spend 2, 3, 4 hours at the gym working out. And they're not a bodybuilder, but they work out like they're a bodybuilder. Or they follow the latest diet craze that bodybuilders are going to follow. Or they have a small amount of overfatness, and they said, oh, I'm going to go and do Atkins ketogenic diet, or I'm going to do prolonged intermittent fasting in order to lose 10 pounds. Or as the latest craze happens to be the Ozempic GLP-1.
Yeah, I've heard so much about it.
Drugs, where... What people don't realize is that the research on those drugs as it relates to the people who were morbidly obese, excessively overfat, that were taking it in conjunction with other lifestyle behavioral changes. And as a side effect, they were losing additional weight. Mm-hmm. And their additional weight is not an astronomical amount of additional weight outside of what we saw with the excessively morbidly obese, excessively morbidly overfat individuals. But at the same time, those same individuals who are excessively overweight, excessively obese, morbidly obese, morbidly overfat, they actually had better better results, better outcomes from doing bariatric surgery, gastric bypass, than they did from doing the other pharmacological treatments. But we don't go around giving someone that is 10, 15 pounds overweight bariatric surgery. Right. But the delineation as to whether or not you qualify to get the drug is your BMI. And BMI is, as we've talked about numbers of times, is not a valuable measure without taking into account all of the fat mass that happens to be there. Because, like, once again, those NFL players.
Right.
All of the NFL players are categorized as overweight, obese, and morbidly obese. And it's not the lineman that everybody thinks is, oh, these excessively fat individuals. Same thing like with the sumo wrestlers in Japan. Everybody thinks, oh, they're just these big fat individuals, people who have excessive amounts of fat and aren't very fit and aren't very, they're excessively strong.
Mm.
They're excessively fit. They just happen to have excessive adipose tissue on them. That's part of the culture of being a sumo wrestler that goes into that whole cultural aspect of body image. And for like those individuals, being skinny is not something you want to be because it's at a disadvantage within the athletic world of being sumo. But at the same time, if you talk to any normal person, put quotes around normal because we're all a little screwy. Mm-hmm. But if you talk to any normal person, they're going to call that sumo wrestler fat or obese.
Those are great examples. I'm really glad you brought those up for sure.
And so when we start looking at this whole idea about body image and particularly the body distortion issues, particularly this time of the year, because we're recording in the beginning of January, everybody's setting up those New Year's resolutions of, oh, I'm going to lose the weight that I've been planning on losing for the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's actually sit back and let's take a step back. And I put it in the Substack. I've done a podcast. It's in the YouTube feeds as well. It's like, how can we actually go about making sure that these resolutions that we keep setting up for ourselves actually get reached?
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is to ignore the body image issue, ignore the scale issue, and start focusing on, like we talked about earlier, those actual fitness measures, and actually goal orient our changes in behavior based off of those fitness measures. But the problem is that people don't see those fitness measures unless they're in the gym with us, watching us do our bench presses or watching us do our deadlifts.
Mm-hmm.
And so like your family's like, oh, you've been lifting for 3 years, but you look the same now. Are you still doing it? But they don't go to the gym with you and see that the fact that you're deadlifting four times what you deadlifted when you first started.
For sure. Thank you.
And so it's just like, you have to take a step back. And so whenever we start looking at these body dysmorphic issues, these body image issues, we have to take into account the holistic approach to the person. And we have to understand that if we're going to talk about what's taking place, that person has to be involved with the conversation about what's taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And we cannot rush to judgment. We cannot take what our rationale for actions might be and project it onto somebody else's actions. Because if I'm going to use my rationale for actions on somebody else's actions, they're no longer that person's actions. They're now my actions. Because I'm the one that's rationalizing why those things are being done. So I think we covered everything we wanted to cover.
That was great. You were spinning. That was great.
This is one of the multiple topics that I can get on a soapbox and just...
No, I love it. You're
rant and rant and rant and rant. Because there's too many people out there that like to call themselves experts.
I was just thinking that because like you were saying, like those YouTube videos and they'll tell you about what exercises to do, what diet to do, da, 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 but they don't know anything. They're not backing it up with any scientific stuff. And you're over here talking about your paper from 20 years ago and this commercial from so-and-so. So the study statistics, I think, is great. that you brought those up. And yeah.
And it's one of the, like, people have asked, and it's just like, I've had a number of people, it's like, can you just break it down to do this or don't do that? And so it's like, no, because if I tell you what to do, what not to do, you're being coerced into the action. Yeah. And what Emily and I showed in the paper that we published is that you will only do things that you want to do when you want to do them.
For sure.
And it's the difference between self-selection, self-motivation, and coercion.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I mean, we've talked about this in terms of studying for classes. And if you study out of really enjoying the subject,
right,
you're going to study without feeling like you're excessively working in order to master the material. It's just like, if I'm going to work out or if I'm going to do my diet change and it's stuff that I like to do, it doesn't feel like I'm doing that as a punishment,
right?
Which goes into that, those kind of 10 things to kind of avoid. And yeah, I focused it on the holidays, but those are if you look at those, particularly the actual top 10, those are things you shouldn't be saying to anybody at any sure. point in time. If you're attempting to not cause a body distortion issue, a body dysmorphic issue, or an eating issue on that person, because even though sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, words can lead to sticks and stones, particularly if I don't have the support and the psychological kind of wherewithal to understand what those words are meant to do.
That's great.
Well, thanks for listening all the way through the second part of the conversation that Ashley and I had about body image and body image distortion issues. Hopefully you got a little bit out of the conversation. And once again, if you happen to feel like you might be having any of these issues, please make sure you're reaching out to somebody to get the support you need. Please make sure you're giving us those 5-star ratings on the reviews. Please make sure you have subscribed to all of the publication avenues that we're putting stuff out at. If you happen to be on the YouTube stuff and want to leave comments about what we're presenting or put questions in there for us to add to what we're presenting, please feel free to do so.